I want to thank Miss Ayers for playing Jesus Savior, Pilot Me during the offertory. Hadn't heard that song in a long time, and I just thought about it when she was the Jesus Savior, Pilot Me, Over Life's Tempestuous Sea, Chart and Compass, you know, all those wonderful things that I remember those verses. And I thought about it because it is that Jesus Savior does pilot us. And it goes along with today because Jesus is our Savior if only we allow Him. For many of us here today, John 3:16 was probably the first scripture verse that you ever memorized. It is one of the most widely known verses, both in and outside of the church. Who can forget seeing sporting events with someone in the bleachers, the stands, holding up a sign that reads John 3:16? Maybe you learned how to say this verse by placing your name or a name of someone that you love right in it. Have you ever remember saying, God so loved me? Or say, God so loved Liz, or God so loved Curtis, or Rick, or whoever, we just pick these names out. That He gave His only Son so that if I, or if Liz, or Curtis, or all these people believe in Him, I and they will not perish, but they will have eternal life. For some people, this is sometimes maybe the only passage of Scripture that they know by heart. I always encourage people when they are witnessing, they ask me what to do. I said, start with this passage. Just let people know how much God loves them and what God has done for them. As I have studied this verse, I've noticed four very powerful words that tell us about God and how we can respond to Him. The first word is love. God so loved the world. Love is a word that can cause a great deal of confusion. We seem to toss it around quite a bit these days. The world that we live in today, we talk about loving a pet, loving a favorite food. Oh, I just love that. Oh, I just love this favorite sports team. Everybody's just in love with everything. Then you turn right around and use that same word and you say, oh, well, I love my friend. I love my husband. I love my wife. I love my children. I just love everybody. You know, it's the same word. And you say, oh, I love God too. But for some, saying the words I love you to a spouse or a parent or a child can be very difficult. Think about that. Some people have a very hard time saying I love you. Some people use it quite often and might not mean it. But the New Testament scriptures usually use the Greek word agape when referring to spiritual love. You see, this is hard to define. There is no higher or more excellent love than agape. It knows no limits and it has no boundaries. Agape is sacrificial and it thinks of others before it thinks of itself. Paul defines agape in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Our lives are nothing without love. Agape. He tells us this in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8. He says that agape love is patient and kind. It's not arrogant or rude. It is not easily provoked and it rejoices in the truth. Love puts up with all things. It trusts in all things. It hopes for all things and it endures all things. Love never fails. And also he tells us in Romans 5:8, it says, this is the kind of love that God showed toward us in dying for us while we were still sinners. You see, this kind of love calls us to action. It calls us to do something. Just as God has loved us, we are called to love God and to love others as ourselves. When Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, He talked about love. If God so loved us, we need to love others. If God so loved us, we need to love each other. The second word that sticks out this morning is gave. That He gave His only Son. Our God is a giving God who gave us all the beauty and wonder of creation. God gave us the breath of life, and each day is a gift from God. Then God gave us the greatest gift, God's Son. God incarnate, that God is there. God gave Himself to us and died for our sins to pay a price that we could not pay. I remember a little song that I used to sing. It says, and part of you know it, He paid a debt He did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay, and I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, it's Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that same price that we could not ever pay. But He gives us that amazing grace that comes just by knowing Him, by loving Him. You see, as God gives Himself for us, we are called to give ourselves for others. We are called to share the many blessings that God has given us. We offer our tithes, we offer our offerings so that the work of God's church can continue and that we can build God's kingdom. We offer our spiritual gifts and our talents so that the body of Christ, the church, can function at its full potential. Our third word today is believe. Believe. Oh, what a powerful word believe is. Everyone who believes in Him will not perish. You see, that's the whole truth. That's the crux of our faith. That's it right there. Those who believe in Him will not perish. We are asked to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died for our sins, that He rose from the dead. Our believing is more than just a mental affirmation. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. We've talked about that many times. It is a very short distance from your head to the heart. It's only about 12 inches, but it's sometimes the hardest step people ever make. In James chapter 2, verse 19, we read that even the demons believe and tremble. But their belief does not lead to salvation. True belief demands that we surrender our lives to Jesus and to receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. You see, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. You see, we are called to respond to God's gift of Jesus by believing in Him and giving our life to Him. We are called to respond to God's gift of Jesus by believing in Him and giving our life to Him. Think about that. It's a very simple statement. It's an easy thing. How long has it been, or has it ever been, that you knew? I heard someone give a story last night that said she had known the Lord since she was 10 years old. And I listened to her story, and it was such a wonderful story that God had been with her. But that's when she realized it. But see, God has been with you from the beginning of time. Before you were ever even thought about, God was with you. The grace of God is there. It dwells with you. It dwells with the people who brought you into this world that gave you life. It dwells there. But there comes a point sometime in your life where you know that your faith is true and your faith is strong. That's the point that we call salvation, that point of saying, I know, I believe, I feel it, I know it. I know when it touched my heart. I was 7 years old when it touched my heart. I knew. Did I know everything at 7 years old? Oh, mercy, no. Do I know everything? Oh, please, not today, by no means. We learn each and every day of our lives. We grow. God is with us. But there comes a point when you truly know it and you believe and your life changes. And there are moments throughout your lives that you have mountaintop experiences. You have wonderful things happen to you. You have great times that you feel the Spirit of the Lord and you just feel like, you know, I don't ever want to leave here because great things happen. It can be on a mission trip. It can be on an Emmaus walk. It can be at ACS. It can be wherever you go as a kid. It can be at youth camp. It can be wherever. It can be out in the middle of a field working. Sometimes it just seems to happen. We have those moments when we know more special that the Lord is there with us. And what better time than to tell someone about what God is doing in your life? You see, to give ourselves to Him. You see, it is the only way that we can be saved and the only way to avoid the punishment that we have earned through our sin. Because we have earned a punishment through our sin. It's part of it. Our belief in Christ should show itself in the way that we live and the way that we treat others. True faith brings about change in our hearts and in our lives. If our heart is truly changed, our lives will show it. The fruit of the Spirit, our fruit will bear forth. It will show in how we do and how we behave and how we live our lives. People will know. If you've truly had a change in your heart, if you've had a rededication, if you've recommitted yourself to something, if you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to do it better. I've read this verse my whole life. I know this verse, but I'm going to live it a little bit differently. You see, the last powerful word is have. But they will have eternal life. Have eternal life. So many people struggle with the assurance of their salvation. So many people say, well, I don't know. How can I be sure? How can you not? How can I know that I am saved and I will have eternal life? How do I know that I'm going to heaven? Simple. It's very simple. Simply believe what the Scripture says in John 3:16. That we are given the assurance that if we believe, we will not perish and we will have life eternal. Don't allow anyone or anything to separate you from that truth. You can know that you are saved by believing in God's Word and knowing that God's Word is true. It is true. In 1 John 5:13 we read, I write these things to you who believe in the name of God's Son so that you can know that you have life eternal. The Scripture also tells us that if we believe, we will be saved. We can be sure of that one thing. That is one thing we are sure. If we believe, we can be saved. Having this gift of eternal life is not something that we keep to ourselves. We are called to take the good news out of this place, out of ourselves and to the world, to let everyone know that God loves them and that God sent His Son to die for them. I ask you now to use these four very powerful words this week to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use them today. Love, gave, believe, and have. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that whosoever, you, me, anyone believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life, life eternal, eternal life. Believe. Believe. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word this day. Thank You, Lord, for just loving us in spite of who we are. We come before You, Lord, with just lots of troubles, with lots of heartaches, with lots of pains. We come before You with things that we have allowed to take over, that we have allowed to come between You and us. We've put such a chasm between ourselves, such a vastness between ourselves and You. And we need to just let that place get smaller and smaller because we need to be just as close to You as we can. So, Lord, this day, just allow our hearts and our minds to draw close to You as we come this day to celebrate this holy mystery that You have given us. We know that when You left us with these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us Your body and Your blood. And so, Lord, this day, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for that time, just allow us to receive that gift, to receive that blessing, to allow it, Lord, to dwell, to allow it to be a part of who we are. Be with us now, for it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of